Welcome into the Big Ten preview and projection show, where we take a look at all 14 Big Ten teams ahead of the 2021 football season. I am Luke Giardi, joined by Anthony Broom. This is show number 6, I believe, as we've taken a look at 5 other Big Ten teams show so far. Keeping it rolling, taking a look at the Maryland Terrapins, taking a look at last year, the last 5 years, key departures, key additions, key returnees. We're taking a look at it all as best as we can. Anthony, we're having a good time doing this, taking a look at the Maryland Terrapins here today, man. This is a very interesting team, kind of polarizing, I feel like, a little bit.
This team only played 5 games last year. They got the doors blown off of them by Northwestern. They beat Minnesota in overtime. They beat Penn State at Penn State, didn't play for 3 weeks, lost to Indiana, didn't play the week after that, and then lost to Rutgers in overtime the last game of the year. So I have no idea what this team is going to do. They look like they can score a lot of points, but man, oh man, they... Let's just hop right into it. I mean, Mike Locksley, this is his third full year at Maryland. He's 6-17. He has a career coaching record of 8-43.
I wanted to jump into that because a lot of people are high on Maryland this year. Are we sure Mike Locksley can coach football very well when he's not with Nick Saban?
I don't know, but the man can recruit like a crazy.
Yeah, person. No doubt about that, man. But I saw that today because he spent a couple years at New Mexico. 8-43. What?
I think, and sports guy does this all the time where you're like, oh, you throw a headset on me and I could do better than that. You give me 51 games, I'll go 9-42 at least. I'll make that claim.
Now I was, the only time I've ever made that claim was I could have done as good of a job as Hugh Jackson in the 0-16 season. That was about it. Wasn't getting any worse, you know? Like Locksley, he didn't take over a great program. They went 6-7-16 and 4-8-17. But I don't know, man. You look at the last 5 years, Maryland football's not been good. 20-34. Really haven't been good since Vernon Davis was there, but this was supposed to be the guy that could turn it around. And like you said, though, man, they can put up some offense. They put up 409 yards a game last year, 24 points a game. I mean, they've scored while he was there. Unfortunately last year, they didn't get the guaranteed win against Texas to begin the year. That wasn't on the schedule. It was a weird year last year. For this Maryland team. And we probably should have known. So we did get kind of the inkling when Minnesota lost to Maryland in that week two of what was to come. Cause that was the night before Michigan played Michigan State. We were like, I had a feeling of existential dread.
I remember that. There were Michigan blows out Minnesota in week one. And then Minnesota loses in overtime to a team that got blown out by Northwestern. There were a lot of tight butts going into the Michigan's Michigan State game. And the rest is history. We don't need to revisit that because it didn't happen. But yeah.
Well, let's take a look at some key departures for this team. Cause there's really only, I feel like, a couple of very key departures. Running back Jake Funk. He was the leading rusher by a mile last year, 516 yards, 3 touchdowns. Then they lost Chance Campbell, a starting linebacker. He transferred to Ole Miss, went to play for Lane Kiffin, led the team in tackles and tackles for loss. So a big part of the offense and a huge part of the defense heading out the door.
Yeah, that's huge. You know, this is a team, the elephant in the room is that this is a team that's going to be as good as its passing attack is. They have, I'm going to butcher the hell out of this. Taulia.
Thank you for doing it.
Tagovailoa. That family has been in college football for like what seems like a decade now, and I still can't get it right. But he transfers in from Alabama ahead of last year, and they like to air it out. and a five-star.
He wasn't bad last year. He completed 61.5% of his passes, threw for over, you know, 1,000 yards.
And here's the development of their offseason that is probably most pertinent to you and I. And I think you probably know where I'm going with this. Offensive coordinator, Dan Enos. Thoughts?
Man.
Littlefinger himself is back in the Big Ten after his brief soiree. He had an office for like 70 days in Schembechler Hall.
Well, here's my question. When Mike Locksley is your head coach, like, are you the offensive coordinator? Like, what is your job as the offensive coordinator? Because first of all, the Dan Enos I know does not run the same offense as Mike Locksley.
Fair. But that's the combination, and you can correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't that the combination of guys at Alabama that kind of got to that's where he set his record breaking?
Yeah, I know. I know Locksley was there, and Enos was he the quarterback's coach when he left?
He was like the quarterback's coach or the passing game coordinator, whatever it was. But
yeah,
so that's, I mean, if they're trying to replicate that, I mean, they have the pieces there to do it. Deonte Demus is a good wide receiver. Rakeem Jarrett was a former five-star guy. We know that. Like, they have weapons there. And like I said, you lose Jake Funk. I don't know. He's a big piece of that offense. But, you know, this is a Maryland team that, like I said, like when we bring this back to the conversation on what Mike Locksley is, the last episode we did, we talked about Mel Tucker, who's a guy. It's almost the Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other, where guys that were well-regarded coordinators, recruiting first guys that just don't. Now, Locksley's career, 8-43. He's coached more games. Tucker's only coached like 19 games at this point as a head coach. But are we looking at what the type of program that Michigan State will be in, say, 2 years? Because I look at Maryland and where they're at as a program, and I think probably what their fans expect too, because, you know, we joke football school, basketball school with Michigan and those types of things, but Maryland is a basketball school, and they expect their football team to be like a 7 or 8 win a year program in the right set of circumstances. I think we talked about this before too, where these teams that, like, Indiana right now is the template for what these teams rebuilding at the back half of the Big Ten East are looking to be. So with Maryland being a team that you're looking at, what do their fans define as a successful season? It's probably winning 6 or 7 games, getting to a bowl game and things like that.
I just feel like everyone is way too high on this Maryland team. Like, I understand Talia, I believe, is coming back, you know, and I understand that, and they have some talent, but again, this guy's won 8 games out of 51.
Yep.
I can't, you know, I understand they've got a lot coming back, but look at the breakdown. So we just went through the wins. Look at like the scores of last year's games. Okay.
Well, let me riddle me this. I think it's almost like are you familiar with the concept of the Mandela effect?
Yes.
Okay. It's kind of like a Mandela effect thing where, like, we think, oh, wow, high powered offense. They were 97th.
They scored 3 points against Northwestern.
They were 97th in scoring last year. They were 81st in rushing, 35th in passing. So that's good. 54th in total offense. But the efficiency numbers, they were 76th offensively. They were 99th in explosiveness offensively. Like, I think a lot of people have it in their head that, like, because this team scored 80 points combined against Minnesota and Penn State, who were those are bad football teams last year, especially bad on defense, that this is some kind of high flying offense that, and you know what? They have the pieces to take off. They do. This could be one of the more dangerous passing attacks in, especially if they're able to kind of replicate that Locksley Enos Tagovailoa magic.
And that could be good, but is this not a Big 12 defense? They gave up 32 points a game last year, and they lost their best defensive player. Yep. He's gone.
Yeah, they were 80th in scoring, 115th in rush defense. You're going to be able to run the ball on this football team.
And you lost your best tackler.
Yep. 25th in passing, so that's respectable. And I think three of their four starters come back there on the
Jordan Mosley's gonna be a stud here as a senior at the strong safety position. I think, you know, I think he was kind of their second best defender. I will say this, going back to the Mike Locksley recruiting thing, he went and got somehow Terrence Lewis, you know, decided I'm gonna go play for Maryland. He was a five-star number one linebacker of the country and number 20 player overall. Like, he's gonna fill in obviously for Chance Campbell. He's gonna play right away. I don't know. You're trusting a true freshman there, but Mike Locksley got like two top 100 guys and maybe one other top 300 guy.
Let me ask you this. Is there some bag manning going on in the back half of the Big Ten East?
I mean, how else do you explain Terrence Lewis going to Maryland?
I mean, they got Brandon Jennings too, as an outside linebacker. That was a guy that Michigan was pretty heavily in on.
Yeah.
To lose a guy like that to Maryland, I know that was a big deal at the time. So, we go back to the our favorite stat here, turnover margin. They were last in the Big Ten, minus – that doesn't make sense. They were minus 7 on the year. It says that they were last in the Big Ten, but Michigan State was
Michigan State was minus 11, right?
Yeah. Minus 9 or minus 11, whatever it was. But whatever it was, they were bad on that side of it too. So, I don't know. Like, it's all promised, right? I mean, this is a – is this a hoax situation where – yeah, you recruit well and you have all these pieces, but they're all what ifs. I think the best thing for us to do, because as we move into like the back half of this preview, is we got to do the over under thing. We got to look at the schedule. Vegas has the over. So before I go into this, Vegas has the over under set at 6 wins. That's a lot for a program like Maryland, yeah, especially with the questions that they have.
So I got 5.5 on FanDuel. So,
what do we want to call it?
I like having the hook because you don't push.
Yeah. Let's do the five and a half. That's canon here then. We'll accept that.
Either way, I'm going. The judges accept.
We're good.
To be honest with you, because so the crossover game's actually kind of tough. You get one probably free one when you go to Illinois, but you're home to Iowa and you're at Minnesota as your crossover games going to the Big Ten West. You have a pretty easy non-conference schedule, but you're also home to West Virginia as one of them, also home to Howard and Kent State. And then you got to play the Big Ten East, which is probably going to be pretty good, as it usually is every year. Like, this is not a very favorable schedule for this team, I feel like.
No, West Virginia, you'd have to think that's probably a loss. You play Howard at Illinois, at Kent State. So, like, they can start – if they beat West Virginia, they're going to start 4-0, which – is going to put a dent into what I think one of us might pick, at least one of us will pick for the over under, but Iowa will be tough. You go to Ohio State, you have a bye week, and then you go play at Minnesota, who I think is, we're going to be talking about them sooner rather than later. And I think that
next episode,
Minnesota is way underranked, not way underranked, but I think they're lower than they should be. That's going to be an improved team. Indiana, we know the force, you know, back-to-back weeks. This is the four, they end the season at Rutgers, but this is the four games that precede that. Indiana at home, Penn State at home, at Michigan State, and Michigan the second to last week of the year. That could go either way on a number of fronts. Like, does Indiana come back down to earth? Is Penn State better than it was last year? Is Michigan State better than it was last year? What is Michigan? That'll be a big episode for us coming up. And then, again, we don't know what Rutgers is going to be either. So, man, I mean, again, it kind of comes back to when you look at a lot of these coaches like Mel Tucker and, you know, who's to say that Brett Bielema can't pop this team in week three? I mean,
what is Brett Bielema like to do?
Eat.
Well, other than that, he likes to run the football, which probably goes hand in hand. And Maryland is not going to be very good against the run this year. Like, Illinois, there is a world where Illinois controls that game in time of possession by just pounding the rock all day.
Yeah, it could happen. And I want to say that was not a fat shaming thing. It was just literally the first. I had no idea where you're going with that. So apologies to that as an obese person.
Look, Phil Steele has there are three categories units that where Phil Steele has them ranked 10th offensive line, 12th linebacking core, and 9th on the defensive line as Big Ten rankings. That all spells disaster to me.
Yeah, that could be.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going under 5.5 here because, again, I can't get over the fact that Mike Locksley has coached 51 games as a head coach and has won 8 of them. I'm not going to take them to win 6 in a single season.
No, because he hasn't won. He's only 2 wins over 6 for his entire career.
Yes, he's won 6 in 3 years at Maryland.
What do you need to be able to do? I mean, this is the oldest cliche in the book. It's the oldest football cliche in the book, but it applies doubly in the Big Ten. You need to be able to run the football and stop the run. They have the worst running back room in the Big Ten. They have the worst defensive line in the Big Ten. They might have a bottom 2 or 3 linebacker room in the Big Ten. So, again, I mean, this is, I think before when we talked about a team like Nebraska, how that could be boom or bust for them. You could see them going 4-8. You could see them going 7-5. Maryland is the biggest boom or bust team in the Big Ten. And if I'm a betting man, which that's legal in the state of Michigan now, I don't know if you guys realize that. And we have been looping that in here. If I'm a betting man, and I mean, CBS, like we talk, FanDuel has them at 5.5. CBS Sports, that I'm reading, has them at 6. If I get 6 somewhere, I smash it. I smash the under. And I might smash it under 5.5 too, because I just don't.
Here's a fun 50 fact. 50
games is a lot. 51 games is a lot. And I know it's not, you know, it's not apples to apples comparison in terms of what his situations have been. Like, this isn't a Jim Caldwell at Wake Forest scenario, but they could be one of the worst. They could be the most fun bad team in the Big Ten, but I don't know.
Maryland has won prior to last year, from 2016 to 2019, they have won their first 2 games every year and have not made a bowl since 2016. They have not, under Mike Locksley, won any of their last 4 games of the season.
I mean, the story kind of writes itself, right? I don't know. I feel as safe and secure in this bet as I have for any that we've done here. I'm taking the under.
I'm taking the under, man.
Again, if anyone sees it at 6, I'm going to look right after we stop recording. If I see it at 6, I might put it at the under 6, but I think you can pretty safely
bet. Yeah, because at 5.5 as well. I feel like push is the ceiling for this team.
Mm-hmm.
Like squeaking into a bowl game.
I'm with you. In year 3 with the weapons that they have offensively, is that going to be, I mean, Maryland's going to give this guy time, and I think that they feel pretty good about what they're building there. But
I just don't think it's there yet.
6 games, I don't know if they're there yet. I don't know.
And they reshuffled their offensive line this year. I don't know.
I can't.
People are way too high on this Maryland team. Way too high.
And I think a lot of that has to do with there were Michigan fans last year that didn't want to play Maryland because Michigan's secondary was bad. And there was the Josh Gattis, Mike Locksley thing. And it kind of would have been salt in the wound. I don't know if I'm afraid of this team, especially they're okay. I thought it was at home. Michigan goes to Maryland. We'll see. That could be an interesting game still. It's never easy the week before the Ohio State game, but
yeah,
I will.
And it's going to be, I mean, we'll take a look at Michigan, but it's obviously that secondary is going to have to improve quite a bit from the beginning of the year to that game, I think.
Yeah. Stat for you, 199.4. Mike Locksley and Dan Enos were on the 2018 Alabama staff when Tua set the single season record for passing efficiency. Now Locksley and Enos are working with Tua's brother, Talia. I'm just going to call him Tauli, like the South Park character.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but that 2018 squad, did that have Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, Jalen Waddle, and Devontae Smith?
At a certain point, it had to have. There's probably another Pro Bowler in there that was on the 2018 team. You know, they might not have that type of receiving room, but Rakeem Jarrett is pretty damn good. Dante Dimas is pretty good. Brian Cobbs is good. Like they have weapons there.
Oh, so
but they're going to throw the ball 50 times a game because they won't be able to run the ball.
I just want to let everyone know for the 2018, Tua's younger brother, if Talia does not have set the single season efficiency a mark because he's working with Mike Locksley and Danny Nose, part of it may be because Jerry Jeudy, Jalen Waddle, Henry Ruggs, Irv Smith Jr., Devontae Smith, Josh Jacobs, and Damian Harris aren't on the offense.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. I think that's a fair thing to say. Let me ask you this. Knowing that, like, Dan Enos, we're gonna stretch this out a little bit because I want to do a bonus Dan Enos segment here. Obviously, people know that guy has had like almost every job that you can possibly have. Let's go through the last since 2004, 2004, 2005, Cincinnati's quarterbacks coach, 2006, Michigan State's quarterbacks coach, 2007 through 2009, Michigan State's running backs coach. 2010 to 2014, Central Michigan University's head coach, both of our alma mater, Fire Up Chips. He leaves like the day before signing day or a week before signing day to go be the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach for Brett Bielema at Arkansas, 2015 to 2017. Brett Bielema gets let go. Dan Enos has an office in Ann Arbor. He was an offensive assistant with Jim Harbaugh. He was there for
40 days.
There for six weeks, 45 days.
Yeah.
Before joining Alabama ahead of the 2018 season with Mike Locksley. Then he goes to, he was the associate head coach and quarterbacks coach at Alabama. Then he goes to Miami as the offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach. Last season, he went to Cincinnati as the associate head coach and running backs coach. And 2021 to present, Maryland's offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach, Luke Ghiardi. Let me ask you this. What is his master plan?
I feel like he's trying really hard to be Lane Kiffin. It's just not working out for him.
He's going to go back to
Tuscaloosa.
I'll make a gentleman's bet of a dollar with you right now because we're gambling now here.
Yep.
He is going to parlay this somehow, some way into a Power Five head coaching job.
Man. It's
going to happen.
I'll take it's going that to be, bet.
Let's say there's some Bagman scandal this year at Maryland. He'll step in and be the head coach, and they'll be like, "Oh wow, we were really impressed with your win over Rutgers in the last game of the year. We want you to be our next head coach." I could see it happening.
He's been trying so hard to get a Power Five job ever since he left Central. He's been trying so hard.
Yeah. Well, you know, maybe one of these days it'll work out for him.
I mean, I don't want to issue ill will on the man, but. You know, he's two of the football teams that I've loved. I feel like he's screwed over pretty hard. So I'm not exactly rooting for the guy.
Yeah. I mean, he's had, and like coaches move around, especially when you're
the way it went about though, that what he did to Central leaving when he did, and then being at Michigan for the 45 days.
Well, the Michigan thing was shameful because there was an out, I believe, and someone can confirm or deny this. I might be talking out of my ass at this point. We're already way over our time here, but I think there was a clause in his Arkansas contract that he could not take a job in the SEC after he lost something weird like that. So like the Michigan job was just him like, oh, I'll have a desk for 45 days and then I will have fulfilled my obligation. I'm not coming. I'm not being hired from an SEC job. So I don't know. Just a sterling human. I'm sure he's a nice guy. I don't know.
And then to tie that all in as it pertains to Central, Jimmy Mack spends 1 year at Michigan that year and takes over the chips.
Yeah. How about that? And Jimmy Mack's he's already done more in 1.5 COVID seasons.
Yes.
Or 1.5 and like a half COVID season. Then Jim McElwain took him to the MAC title game in year one. Like what else is there to say? Okay, we're off the rails here. Let's bring us back, Luke.
All right. Yes. So Maryland, we are both hitting the under 5.5 here. Not as high on the Terps as a lot of folks are. A lot of that has to do, obviously, with Mike Locksley and his track record as a head coach. But who knows? Maybe this is the year he really kicks off the career and sets some fire. This will be the year. Just keep
telling yourself. You know what's so funny about that line of thought is that people make fun of Michigan fans for saying that about Jim Harbaugh, but literally for 2/3 of the programs in the Big Ten, they're always rebuilding, and you go, well, this is going to be year, the year it pops off. Like, if you're not Ohio State, you're saying that. So can we stop with that, please?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone is going to say it. Well, Anthony, tell the folks where they can find all of our other preview and projection show that we've done so far. This being our 6th already, man. We're cruising through these.
Yeah, one more. We're halfway through. So how about that? And also, we'll tell you where Michigan's placed, but we will skip over them, and we'll do the last show of this will be our big Michigan preview. We won't do, obviously, we're a Michigan website, Michigan podcast. We're not just going to give you a 25-minute Michigan preview and go from there. So we'll let you know where the people voted them at. But, yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at Anthony T. Broom. All of the links to our social channels are in the podcast description below. All of our podcasts can be found on Apple, Google, Spotify, Stitcher, wherever you get your shows, probably leaving something out somewhere. But other than that, that's where you can find us. And we appreciate the feedback. We appreciate the conversation and appreciate your support.
You can find me on Twitter at Luke Giardi, LukeGhiardi. Go ahead and tweet me if you feel like defending Mike Locksley and or Dan Enos. I have time for that. And as Anthony said, check out all our other shows where you can find them, leave reviews, rate the show. And we are very thankful for that. We've got 7 more Big Ten preview and projection show coming your way. Make sure you're on the lookout for the next one when we take a look at the Minnesota Golden Gophers. We'll see you then.